to throw it out on the table and chew it up. And here we are on Resurrection Sunday. And we're also grateful today for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to start off. I'm not a music guy. See, listen, let me make this clear. How's this little sweet thing put up with me? I don't know, but she has for 40 years. I don't think praise and worship is something you do. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I think when you go to church and church starts off with praise and worship, I enjoy praise and worship, but I don't think praise and worship is something you do. I think it is a lifestyle. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. We praise the Lord with every breath that we take. We worship the Lord with every action we make. Praise and worship is a lifestyle. It is not something you do when you go to church. So a lot of people get uncomfortable when they come in here. We don't have any praise and worship music and no singers and no dancers and anything like that. And, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And for those of you who want to throw this in before I forget, folks, at our website, CoachDaveLive.com, we have a video library now that is just full of so much stuff about what's going on with the coronavirus and all that kind of stuff. There is so much information there. It's all free. It's all free. So all you got to do is go to Coach Dave Live and click on the video button and boom, a lot of stuff there for you to do. I want to start off a little bit, just after I said we don't do praise and worship music. I want to play a song today. It's the Keith Green. You guys all remember Keith Green. Maybe some of you don't remember Keith Green. He was, I think it was, in the 80s, 70s. Anyway, Keith Green was alive a long time ago and died a very, very young death after radical salvation. And Polly Heath sent this to me this morning. I thought, yeah, that's really, really good. It's called Keith Green, the Easter song. And just Michelle liked this morning as well. So maybe Connor, if we can go ahead and kick that thing in there, we can listen to the Easter song here from Keith Green before we dive into what I want to talk about.
Hey, Gail. Gail.
We can hear you, Larry.
Okay.
No sound. I know they're working. They're trying to get it up and running. The Easter song from Keith Green. Folks, Jared's not with us today. It's a pretty complicated process we have behind the scenes trying to get all this stuff up and running. So let's bear with him here a second. No sound. Oops. We're not hearing it, Connor. Okay, look, if we can't get it down, go ahead and pull it down. Kind of hard to minister just with a picture here. So, folks, let's do this, Connor. If we can, I want to. Here's some of the notes that I made today. I want us to think about this. What does Resurrection Sunday mean to you? See, one of the things we talk about here a lot at Coach Dave Lives, as I said earlier, is you can pull that down, Connor. Go ahead and pull that down. Well, we talk about the traditions of men and the fact that in our Christian tradition, we continue to cycle from Christmas to Easter, from Christmas, and just goes around and around and around. And Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, becomes something that we celebrate once a year, and then get back into the cycle. But Resurrection Sunday has to do the whole resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has to do with a lot more than just celebration on Easter Sunday. A lot more to do than that. And We are, that resurrection power is available to us every day of the year. I've got a Bible reading I want to do right now, Connor, if you can pull it up. It's kind of odd. Yeah, so what are you talking about? Well, pull up Lazarus. It says Lazarus there, Connor, if you can click that thing up for us. We are looking at, get it on my screen over here. We're looking at John chapter 11. We're going to begin today with verse 37. I always think of, when I think of resurrection, it's just me. When I think of Resurrection Sunday, I always think Lazarus. Say Lazarus. I always think of Lazarus. Say why, Coach? Because really, as this hit me one time. I was doing a presentation in Galleon, Ohio, of all places, on a Saturday before Easter. It was some little Easter breakfast or something. It was the Saturday before Easter Sunday. And just as I was getting ready to speak, the Holy Spirit said to me, Lazarus. I thought, what? Lazarus? That was a department store here in the Columbus area. What the heck is Lazarus? And it led me to John 11:37. Do you have that up there, Connor? I sent you that link. You can just click on the link. It should just pop up. John 11, beginning in verse 37. We all know about the resurrection of Lazarus. And so I read it real quick. I'm at that event. I read it real quick, and all of a sudden it made sense to me. And as we know the story of Lazarus, listen to me, friends. Lazarus was the first born again man. He was born again from the dead. Lazarus was. And there's something really, really significant here I want to share with you, because I believe this is where, well, I'll get there. Stay with us, okay? Verse 36. Jesus wept and said to the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So the question, he can open the eyes of the blind, he can do all that stuff. Couldn't they have prevented this? We ask that a lot in our lives, right? Couldn't Jesus have been? Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, came up to the grave. The cave. The stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. We're talking about Lazarus in the grave, 4 days stinketh. First born again man. And Jesus said unto him, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe that you should see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said to the Father, I thank thee that you've heard me. And I know you always hear me. But because of these who are standing here beside me who don't get it and don't understand the power and authority that I have, just for them, I want you to do this through me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. There's people tell me, stop yelling, Coach. Jesus never yelled. Well, there he did. Hey, Lazarus! Come on out of there! Come forth! Look at this, folks. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, what?
Loose him and let him go.
Loose him, let him go. Now here's the picture that I got that Saturday morning in Galleon, Ohio. There it is, folks, right there. There it is. Born again people. And he that was dead, verse 44, came forth bound hand and foot in their grave clothes. And Jesus said to those around him, loose him, let him go. And I believe that this is where we are in America today, because we don't understand the power and authority of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to those that were around him, I've done all I can do, boys. I brought him back. Come out of there, Lazarus. And Lazarus came walking out of that grave. And then what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I've breathed life back into him. But boys and girls, it's up to you to loose him. From what? Those old dead grave clothes. I wonder how many people you come in contact every day, or how many people you go to church with, how many people you know who carry the name of Christ, who are born again and still bound up. Bound up with the traditions of men, on obeying this law and this rule, and do this, don't do that, signs, everywhere are signs, blocking out the scenery, right? Everywhere. And here we are in America today when the world seems to be imploding and exploding around us, where the world is changing before us in a way that we have never, ever seen before. And where are the born again people? I believe they're bound up. They're bound up with fear. They're bound up with the cares of the world. They're bound up with disobedient children. They're bound up with sickness. They're bound up with all of these things. Born again and bound. And I believe that that's been one of the goals, one of the greatest strategies of the enemy is to try to keep those of us who have been here on See, we've got to make Resurrection Sunday more than just Easter Sunday morning. It is a resurrection power that is available and endued in all of us. Power from on high. The ability to be able to live your life free from the death clothes that you were buried in, that when you were born again and you came up a new man, you have to shake off all of those old things. And unfortunately, we've made Easter a tradition. It's something you do Sunday morning. You get all dressed up, all pretty, and you go to church service and you sing songs and the tradition of Easter. And then we walk out of our doors on Monday, and it's the day after Easter, and there's no power and there's no authority in our lives or in the lives of the church. One of the things I want to focus on today is the fact that we are born again. Many of us born again and bound. Somebody come on in here. Michelle, you got something to say? Somebody come on in here. For those who are watching for the first time, we're interactive here, folks.
Hey, Coach.
Be interactive. We think that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, what a bingo you have. What a mic drop moment, because the six elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ as presented in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, one of them is resurrection of the dead. Understanding the born again, I live again, but not me, Christ in me. Understanding the resurrection of the dead is a basic elementary foundational aspect of walking in Christ. And if you don't get that down, then your foundation's not right. And Jesus said, if your foundation's not right, when a storm comes, your stuff's going to turn to crap.
Larry, if resurrection power isn't available to us on Monday, what good was Sunday? And most of us are not walking in resurrection power. Kenneth, did you want to come in there? I see you're unmuted. I don't know if you did that on purpose or not. That's how we recognize people want to say something.
No, sorry about that.
That's all right, buddy. You don't have to apologize. Anybody else? Come on in here. Folks, listen, if you're on here for the first time and you would like to speak, there's a little red microphone on your screen. You click on that little red microphone and that will unmute you. And when you're unmuted, then all of us you can share. This is an interact. Folks, this isn't church. Will you come here and hear what I have to say? I try to lay something out there that we all chew on and we all think about and give you the opportunity to interact, right?
Hey, Coach, this is real church. This is real church. Why do you go to church? You go to church to get help with something. So you don't go to church to be lectured at. You go to church to get help with something. How's anyone going to help you if you don't tell them what the problem is? So also this pertains to prayer. I believe people pray to get help for themselves. But you've already been helped by getting the breath of life in you. You're supposed to pray for others when you see them in distress, and that prayer works.
Amen. Thank you, Coach. Amen, Benny. Thank you. Michelle.
Love you, Michelle. You're gorgeous.
Huh? What's on your heart? Let I want you to hear from my little wife. I had to really twist her arm to get her down here. Me and Tammy Faye. Let me move it over here a little bit, hey?
I basically from the bottom of my heart, I just want to thank all of you who have been faithful listeners and supporters of the ministry for all these years. I can't tell you, I'm just going to cry, how much I really, really appreciate everything that you've done and your faithfulness, not to the Lord first and foremost, but to our ministry and the cause of Christ. So I guess that's why I just wanted to come on and say thank you. Nothing goes unnoticed. I just praise God for each and every one of you. And I may not get to see you or talk to you, but it's in my heart. And I just wanted to share that especially in these crazy times that we're living in, you're just the foundation through Christ that keeps us going. And that's really what I wanted to share. That
resurrection power, folks. Michelle and I were up this morning. We were sharing with each other, you know, figuring out what we're going to talk about on the show and all that kind of stuff. And just to think, she was talking about her salvation experience. Let me go back to that. Remember, folks, born again and bound, born again and walking in dead men's clothes. That's where so many of us are. We have no power. I don't mean to yell. We have no power. We have no authority. We walk as if there is nothing that we can do. Sickness overwhelms us. Sadness overwhelms us. The cares of the world overwhelm us. And we walk the day after Easter, the day after Jesus Christ raised from the dead, that day after we raise up and we're still Lazarus, born again and bound, walking in dead man's clothes. Michelle was sharing with me this morning her resurrection experience, her born-again experience. It happened to us. She was, believe it or not, she was born again before me at a little prayer meeting that she went to. She didn't say anything to me. This was 1987. She didn't even say anything to me. And 2 weeks later, I had a born-again experience. But she said something to me this morning that was, honey, that is it. That's where most people live their lives. Go ahead, sweetheart, tell them. But you didn't get it.
I was at a prayer meeting, and the little pastor goes, "Do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And I go,
"We were little Catholic boys and girls. Yeah. We were raised Catholic, both of us.
I had no clue what he really meant, but I wanted. I think being a Catholic, I didn't want to go to hell, and this was a chance to not go to hell. And I didn't understand anything of what I said or what I did. And so I was just talking about how some people, when they accept Jesus Christ, they've been free of drugs and alcohol and all of this stuff. And then here was me. It's been a 30-year journey to really understand.
Nothing miraculous really happened in your life. You didn't get delivered from drugs or sexual addictions or anything like that. You were just born again. Yeah, they say move over. So I told her twice to come on over, and she wouldn't. I wasn't trying to hog it.
I'm just saying, now the different experiences and how these people that are amazing, I've heard testimonies and God delivered you, and I just instantaneously, and I didn't get it at first. And so you questioned, did I really get it? I mean, I wasn't going around and talking to everybody and telling everybody about
Jesus with everybody.
It has been a journey for the last 30 years. And finally in my heart, I am getting it. And the freedom, it's amazing. And what Jesus really did on the cross. And it was for me and for you and for, as you already say, annihilate the works of the devil. It's real, folks. It is more real today than it was when I accepted him. I had no idea. Maybe some of you are like that.
Amen, Michelle.
I just want to tell you, it is more real today in 30 years, and I don't go like him or maybe like some of you and your testimonies, but it is so real. And I want to just tell people, Shout it from the rooftop. Shout it from Kroger's. That's about what I'm going to do. All the fear that's going on in these people. They need to repent right now.
So let me ask you right now, folks out there. Again, we're in act. Good job, sweetheart. That's why I love her. 40-some years.
I'm going to have to go back to work now.
Why do we see such little power in the church? She's leaving us. See, sweetheart. Such little power in the church. What is it? How do we get? I look at all the things that are going on, all the problems that we're seeing in the world, and as I often say, church, we are so ineffective as the body of Christ. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24, I believe it is, he said what? All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Now, let me throw this out on the table here. What's the difference between power and authority? Because that's something we're really dealing with today here in the good old US of A, power and authority. And I like to say to people, yes, you have the power to do something, but you may not have the authority to do it. Those are not the same thing.
Amen.
Power and authority. And what we have got to do is ask ourselves this: where does power come from? Now remember this. Power can be seized. A police officer can come up and he can write you a ticket. He has the power to do that. But if he's not doing it under the law, he has no authority to be able to do it. And you can have authority without executing your power. My brother Joe, who is in Azerbaijan, sent me a clip today. And I want you to think about this, folks. This is where we are in America. The basis of what he sent me was this. Imagine yourself as a parent, which many of you watching me today are parents. And think of the benevolent authority that you wield over your children. Benevolence, love, every bit of authority that you wield over your children, you do it out of love for them, protection, not vengefulness, not hate, not tyranny, not control. And so when we got born again of the Spirit of God, when Jesus Christ was crucified on that cross, and he spent 3 days in the grave, and he resurrected in full authority, not just power, full authority. He resurrected. And he said to what? All power has been given unto him. All power. So the ability to do anything that we do can only be done because we have the authority. Comes from the term, root word, author, authority. All power comes from the ultimate authority. And the benevolent power that I have, the benevolent authority of my Heavenly Father, is peaceful. Benevolent authority. Hang with me a second. I want you to think about the difference between that and governmental authority. Is government authority benevolent? When you think of the federal government, when you think of an agent knocking on your door, when you think of an IRS agent showing up your door, do you think benevolent authority? And see, those are the two that we're fighting against in this world. Christ has brought us benevolent authority, power over all the forces of darkness, benevolent power. Why? Because he loves us. But the enemy is constantly at work doing what? He's trying to bring tyrannical authority. He wants to overthrow the authority of God. He wants to overthrow it. And because we don't understand that the power that is endued to us comes from the ultimate authority, that we have authority then over those that we think are the authorities. Is this making sense? And because we don't understand on Monday, the day after Easter, we don't understand the power that we walk in. We don't understand authority. We don't understand power. Let me shut up a minute. Somebody come on in.
You know, I think it's also important that we understand that this benevolence, the benevolence of God and the authority of God that he gives to us, God himself in his benevolence, administers discipline to those he loves. We out can't forget that. Out of love. Out of love.
Right. Even his discipline is love, right? Even once you're as a parent, folks, you would never be vengeful towards your child. If you are vengeful towards your child, you're not doing it out of love. All whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines. As much as it might hurt, it's being done out of love. And when we get out of the authority and begin to operate within our own power, power outside of his authority, bad things begin to happen. And the purpose of God, not the purpose, that's not the right thing. His Holy Spirit gives us benevolent authority over those forces inside us. So we have power over those tyrannical authorities on the outside of us. Somebody else, come on in.
If I may, I think this is on the same subject. Three scriptures that God laid on me, and I may have read them here before, Coach, that completely changed me, and it's what we're talking about, and it's in Matthew 13:44, 45, 46. Everybody knows this about the hidden treasure and the costly pearl. It, when God pointed that out with the Holy Spirit, it just completely changed me. And I'll just read the first one, but they're both the same. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And the pearl's the same thing. And what God pointed out to me is the kingdom of God costs everything. Our flesh, our desires, our ambitions are bye-bye. It's all God's. It's his will. It's his desires. We're his servants. Correct?
Amen. Amen. So, Denny, one of the questions that I put down to ask as we get into this, as this discussion here, is there any, dare I say this, quid pro quo with your salvation? Did Jesus Christ go on that cross and die that horrible death? I was preparing to do a show on it the other day, which talks about just the crucifixion, just a scientific explanation of the crucifixion, and that our Savior was whipped in ways that we can't even imagine. Excruciating. See, it'd be one thing, wouldn't it, to get your head chopped off? Boom, it's over. Bang, it's done. Shot in the head. Boom, done. Have a heart attack. Boom, it's done. But to spend hours being tortured. Now, is there a quid pro quo? We'll say, of course, Coach, you don't earn your way to heaven. We understand. Of course you don't earn your way to heaven. But is there is there something expected from you for what it was that Christ did? No. Not a works gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. Did Jesus Christ come and get crucified on that cross just for you to have a healthy, wealthy, happy life? Is that it? Is there a quid pro quo? In other words, this or that?
Yes.
What would that look like in American Christianity? Come on in.
The power would be unbelievable because it would be God operating through you, and he's in charge of it. People have no idea of what he wants to do through us, but we try to do it on our own. No, it's God doing it through us.
Denny, one of the questions I'm asking, again, folks, if you want to come in, just unmute yourself and I can see and we'll invite you in. The question I'm asking is, what is our obligation to Christ for his crucifixion and resurrection? What do we have an obligation, or did he do that, excuse me, just so we can have a better life? What do you think? Do we have an obligation?
Coach, in John 1:12, he says, we now, when we come in, we have the right to be the sons of God. We have the right to be the daughters of God. Until we are full of the Holy Spirit, we can exercise that in power. That's what gives us the power to be the authority. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's to be filled with the Spirit. Coach, you know when we go do things, when we pray and ask God to fill us, and we go walk out there, the power and the demonstration is what shows the authority. That's what does it, Coach. We have the authority, but if we don't take off those dead clothes, we have no power. Nobody knows it.
Well, Randy, it's like this, and those of you who watch during the week know this, that we're doing some work up here at Sky High, and I was talking last week about a tractor that I have up there, and I was scared to get on the tractor because I didn't really know how to operate it. And when Mark Trump and some of the others came out and I began to get more and more comfortable, I went out there yesterday and mowed the entire field because now I'm getting used to this beautiful machine that we have and how I'm supposed to operate it. What do you understand the dunamis power that is given to us as believers, and why are we not more willing or more able to exercise the tools that the Lord has given us? What is it, folks? What has made the church, especially at this time in which we're in, why do we seem to be so mute and so powerless? What is going on? And here, especially here, as I said, on Resurrection Sunday, everybody complaining because they can't go to church on Easter. It didn't bother me one way or another because it's not about Easter to me. It's about that resurrection power that continually indwells inside of me. What's the catch here, folks? Is there a quid pro quo? Do we have a responsibility to do something with what it was that God gave us? Somebody come
hey,
on.
Coach.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely we do. And it all begins with understanding the simplicity of what God's word has to tell us about how things have been put into place. And now this is something that the simple thing that I've read in God's word, and I pray each one of you, please do your own research, do your own reading, and see if you get the same reading the Holy Spirit shown me on this. Jesus's death on the cross was not for the forgiveness of our sins as children of God. His death on the cross was to pay the price for the sins we committed and everybody else commits when they're in the world. That's what his blood on the cross paid the price for, those worldly sins that were committed when people were in the world. Jesus made some extensive teachings to his disciples and to us through his word on how forgiveness is imparted to us now and now. Please research it on your own, because if you go through life, if you go through your Christian walk, so to speak, as you call it, depending on his blood to forgive you your sins as a Christian, you missed the teaching he gave us. That's all I'm going to say.
1 John 3:8, Penny, get ready. I see you just a second. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would annihilate, destroy the works of the devil." Folks, listen, I hear people say this all the time, that homosexuals are going to hell because they're homosexuals. No. Homosexuals are going to hell because they've not received Christ as their Savior. People don't go to hell because they're drug addicts. They go to hell because they've never received Christ as their Savior. Good people, good citizens can go to hell because why? They have never accepted the sacrifice of the blood sacrifice of Christ on the cross. There are people sitting in churches today who have never appropriated the blood of Christ to their own lives, who have never been born again. They followed the traditions of men, raised in church, followed their denomination, became an elder, became an usher, became a reader, what they call a lector, all of that stuff, and are not born again, because it's the power that comes through the born again experience. For this purpose, see, you're born again. Your salvation is a byproduct of his crucifixion. He paid the price. He paid the price for all sin. But you have to appropriate that to your own life. How do you do that? How do you appropriate it to your own life? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Connor, pull up. It says, "I never knew you" here. Matthew 7. Pull that up there, Connor, because I'm going to take you there. This is something that is really, really significant. It's on your screen right now. Matthew, I'm sorry. And no, that's, there we are. There we go. Matthew. I'm looking at the wrong screen. I'm sorry, guys. Bear with me here. Somebody come on. Penny, I said you could come on in there. Come on in there, sweetie.
Well, I was reading John 20 and verse 19, and it just struck me. It says the same day at evening, this is after Christ was buried and resurrected, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, it's kind of funny that our doors are shut to our churches right now. But Amen. Then again, if you think in God, Jesus gives us peace. And you go down a little bit further, verse 21, and Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so I send you. Now he expects us to go do things. He doesn't expect us to sit inside those four walls. He sends us. And you keep reading. Yeah, you keep reading. And he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Amen. No, that's right. That's that authority. That's that power and authority that the born again believer is supposed to be walking in. Folks, if Easter Sunday is merely about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and if we don't appropriate what just happened to us, it is powerless. Hey, Connor, scroll on down here. And by the way, you want to do a devotion today, folks? Read John 7. Read all of John 7, okay? But Connor, scroll clear on down, because I want to show you something that many, many Christians need to be concerned with. Keep on going. Stop right there. Boy, oh boy, right there, verse 24. Therefore, no. Go up a little bit farther, Connor. I'm sorry. Go up to about 20. There you go, up to 20. There you go. There, 18. Folks, listen. Take this personally now. We're talking about Resurrection Sunday, resurrection power on Monday. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Cannot a good tree. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now look here, folks. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, wasn't I an usher? Lord, didn't I give all my money to the church? And didn't I cast out devils? And didn't I do all these great things for you, Lord? And then will I profess unto them, sorry, who are you again? I'm sorry, did we meet? Do I know you from somewhere? That's the point that I'm making again about Lazarus and men coming out of the grave, born again and bound, unable to do anything other than appropriate their salvation to their life. That's all they can do. I'm saved. I sit here. There's no fruit from my life. Evidently, we're supposed to have fruit, because we're judged by our fruit. And the Lord said, if you're not a good tree, you're not going to give forth good fruit. And the Lord also said, call no man good. Nobody's good apart from Christ. What is Resurrection Sunday all about on Monday? What does it mean? Somebody come on in.
Remember to honor the sacrifice that was given to you.
How do we appropriate that, Vinny? What does that look like? What does that mean when many in my name, many? Randy, come on in.
Monday's the proof, Coach.
Of Sunday.
Monday is the proof of Sunday. Let's see what's going to happen. Were you resurrected or not? Let's see.
Because what? You will know them by their fruit. It's their fruit that you'll know them by, right?
Amen, Coach. If you don't say you're a Christian, you prove it by your actions.
Coach, the day after Zacchaeus, Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, and he ate with him, and he told him some things. The day after that, they questioned Zacchaeus, and he said this. He said, I'm going to give back all the money I took illegally, and he was a changed man. He proved it by his fruit. He proved it. And Jesus said, he said to him, today you found the kingdom. That's what he told Zacchaeus. He proved it, Coach. If we were a homosexual and we come into the kingdom, if we really did, with the next day, Coach, you say, I'm no longer that homosexual. I'm in the kingdom now. It's proof. Mm-hmm. It's proof. Evidence.
Fruit from your life. Hey, Connor,
read the fruits of the Spirit.
Say it again.
You should read the fruits of the Spirit. I think it's in Galatians. The fruits of the Spirit. There. Peace, righteousness, joy, you know, all those. Read those. That's good. Bring that up. That's what it is. That's the fruit.
Well, we talked about a couple weeks ago, Galatians. Where is that in Galatians, folks? Maybe I can get Connor to pull that up here real quickly for us.
Five.
Galatians 5. Thanks, Randy. Galatians 5, talking about, listen, folks, your inability to walk in the power of righteousness if you are not born again. Listen, I don't care if you were baptized Methodist or Baptist or Lutheran. I don't care if you did your first communion in the Catholic Church. I don't care if you had confirmation. I don't care if you did any of that kind of stuff, because that, in my opinion, is a form of godliness and denies the power thereof. Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Scroll on down there, Connor. There it is. This I say then, verse 6, this, folks, this is what Jesus Christ did on Resurrection Sunday. He divided the two, how do I say, operating systems, if you will. He divided the two. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. There's one operating system, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is the other operating system. And before Jesus Christ died on that cross, you had no operating system to beat the original operating system, the religious system. No matter how much you tried, you could not be holy enough, righteous enough. You could not pay the wages of sin, which was death. That's why they had to kill goats and bulls and sacrifice death and put blood over the doorposts and lintel, because there was no sacrifice for their sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You sin, you got to die. But when Jesus died on the cross and he became the propitiation, he paid the price. His blood paid that price, and he divided that kingdom from those who walk in the Spirit and those who walk in the flesh. And I don't care how much you go to church, if you are doing 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest or obvious, which are, if you are doing these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Folks, you're walking in the wrong power system. And the death of Christ on the cross was the resurrection of this new power system, so you could walk in the Spirit, being born again, the Spirit of God in you. That is the hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That now I can say no to envyings, no to murders, no to drunkenness, no to reveling, no to witchcraft. No, I had no power before that. There was no power before that. None. So Christ's resurrection today, Sunday morning or Saturday or Friday, we can argue about when it happened. It doesn't matter. for the first time when he resurrected, he gave you victory. You don't have to walk in that flesh anymore. That flesh is still there, but now you have not only the power, but the authority. Why do you have the authority to say no to sin? Because on the cross, Christ paid the price. He got the stamp paid in full. For who? For anybody who will. But if you have not received Christ as your Savior and turned from your wicked ways, dude, you're still walking in this, you're still over here in this operating system, trying to be good. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, this new operating system, verse 22, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So are you going to walk in this earthly, fleshly kingdom, or are you going to walk in the Spirit of God kingdom? Folks, if Easter is just a holiday and it's just about us going to heaven and just having a nice life and good stuff and, oh my goodness.
Coach, if I only see Jesus on the cross and see his crucifixion, that's just the first step. Until we see him resurrected in the power and in the majesty, we're not fully born again. We're not born again. The death, burial, and the resurrection. That's what born again is. It's coming.
How many of you right now watching this show have never heard this? Michelle never heard it. She didn't get it. She's in church 35 years and never understood that. How many of you watching right now look at your life and your life is a mess? Could your life be a mess because you're not applying the resurrection power of Christ into your own life here and now? It's more than just going to heaven. The power available to us now, the power and authority. Christ paid the price. He set you free from sin. Why would you continue to wallow in it? Wait till next Easter Sunday and we can celebrate Easter again. Connor, if you can get it ready, get Sleep in the Light. And it starts at the 1:40 mark. Somebody else come on in while Connor's getting that ready. Come on, man. Come on, Christians. Come on, church. Come on. Stand up here. Appropriate that power and authority that's been given to us. Come on. We're not hearing that anymore. We're oh me's and oh my. Oh me and oh my's, and Lord help me here, and Lord, all power's been given to us. Walk as a soldier of Christ. Move forward. Take back ground. Take back what the devil stole. That's the resurrection power of Christ. It's more than just going to heaven. Oh my goodness. Say, Coach, you yelled too much. I'm sorry. Somebody walk in here. Come on in. Save me. Rescue me. Somebody we haven't heard from today. A lot of you out there. Come on. We're nice. Come on in,
Kenneth. Well, look at. Go ahead, Kenneth.
Hey, Coach, I say that you just got to live. You have to always. We always fail as a church doing what we need to do. We all believe that stuff, but we have to then walk in it. Being able to say to somebody, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved, and how can I help you today?" And try to help people.
Kenneth, it's got to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge, brother. Yeah. You have to know it and believe it. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. And see, we have a head knowledge of Christianity, but we don't have a heart knowledge of it. We don't have
That's why Matthew 7 is such a scary scripture. It says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it.
Amen.
Be part of that we need to be more than just 25%. That's where the church as a whole is failing.
Let's appropriate the power of Christ, folks. Now, I hope we can get this running. Keith Green, this is the most powerful song ever, I think. Gospel song in my mind called Asleep in the Light. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this or not. But this, to me, is the American Christian church. We are asleep in the light. Wake up, church. How often do we hear that? How often do we hear that in Christian circles? Wake up. Hey, wake up. It's time to wake up. Well, wake up. church. We're asleep in the light. We go to church and we have our wonderful church services and our praise and worship and our flags rolling and the smoke. Wake up. We're asleep in the light. Go ahead and play that, Connor, if we can now.
Everybody flailing their arms. He wants you to look at who he is, because he's going to change your life. Yeah, he's going to change your life, because he wants to change your life. Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
Amen! He's no longer dead!
Joy to the world, he has risen. Hallelujah! He's risen. Hallelujah! He's risen. Hallelujah! Because all they've seen of Jesus is churchianity, or all they've seen of Jesus is religion. They've been turned off by the hypocrisy. But there is a real Jesus, and there are real Christians running around. The word Christian means little Christ, and it means we're supposed to be little Jesuses running around, doing what he did and what he does. And what he wants you to do is, sure, go ahead and reach out your hand. Sing the last verse. Ask him to heal you, whatever you need. Everybody's got depressions or bummers or downers or some kind. Especially, you know what the greatest healing is? Is the healing of the sin sick soul. And God wants to heal your depression and your heavy laden soul right now. So just reach out to him and ask him to do it. He's gonna do it. He promises, come unto me all you that are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and ye shall receive. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, let's worship him together.
Hey, Jared, or I'm sorry, Connor. Man, oh man, I don't know if you felt that or not. I felt that, folks, that resurrection power. Thank God for Easter Sunday, but can we move past that already? Can we move past Easter Sunday already and appropriate that power into our lives and stand up and boldly declare the gospel of the kingdom of God to those we come in contact with, to a world where we look around and see that people are so fearful. They don't even know what they're afraid of. They're fearful. They're afraid of death and they're afraid of life. They don't know what to do. Resurrection power. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world. You, me, not just Easter Sunday, not just in our little blue bonnets, not with Easter egg baskets, not with chocolate bunnies, but to go with the appropriated power of a risen Savior who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And we are his witnesses. We are his children. We are the ones who are endued from power on high to conquer all of this mess that we see before us. Folks, let Christ wake you up. Oh, my goodness, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen, brother. There we are. We're the laborers. We're the ones. I'm not afraid of no stinking coronavirus. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of any of that kind of stuff. By the way, to several people who ask, who was that? That was Keith Green. Jared, see if we can do this real quick. Or Connor, I'm going to go over a couple minutes. Now, look, Facebook's going to ban us, okay? Facebook's going to ban us. YouTube's going to ban us. Look, go to YouTube and pull up. I thought I had it for you. I didn't. Asleep in the Light. Go to YouTube and pull up Asleep in the Light. YouTube will give us a whack. We won't watch it all, but this is the American church. This is a powerless Christianity. Asleep in the Light. There it is. That's it, brother. Go ahead.
See all the people sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Just grieve, 'cause Jesus came to your door. You've left him out on the streets. Open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark, that the church just can't fight, 'cause it's asleep in the light. So dead when you've been done. Come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess. Come away with me, my love.
Let's turn Resurrection Sunday into Resurrection Monday. Resurrection Sunday becomes Resurrection Monday, abolitionist triumph. Did you want to say something, dear? Your microphone's open is the only reason I ask, honey. No. How about folks just join me in the Lord's Prayer here as we close out? Did you do that? Our Father, who art in heaven.
Who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
On earth.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day.
Give us this day.
Our daily bread.
Our daily bread.
And forgive us of trespasses.
Forgive us of trespasses.
We forgive those against us.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
And lead us not into temptation.
Deliver us.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the power.
And thine is the glory.
And thine is the glory.
Thine is the glory.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Resurrection Sunday becomes Resurrection Monday. God bless you. Thanks for joining us, folks.